We move on to the third document, our apostolic mandate, or St. Pius X on the Sillon, S-I-L-L-O-N. Sillon in French means furrow, like a furrow you plow. And it was the name chosen for a student movement, originally a student movement, headed up by a certain Marc Saunier, a Frenchman in France in the 1890s. It began in 1894. Marc, M-A-R-C, Saunier, S-A-N-G-N-I-E-R. The Sillon was a typical let's make the world better, let's all get together, students and workers of the world unite, let's all get together, let's love one another, let's be democratic, let all chiefs are no Indians, let's all get together to create a better world. It began Catholic, and it soon, after a certain time, it veered off. Basically because it started in a mush of sweet feelings, without hard dogmatic principles, without truth. Sweet feelings without hard truth. The hard truth is nasty. The sweet feelings are nice. But if you try driving a motor car on the basis of sweet feelings and we're paying no attention to the hard, nasty road signs, you're going to have a road accident. Once you get into a material motor car, everybody understands the need of nasty signs and everybody accepts nasty signs because they know that they're the means of avoiding a nasty crash. But when we get into things spiritual and things political, well, let's do away with all of the nasty road signs. Let's just be nice and sweet and everything is going to be wonderful and peachy keen in a brave new world, which is going to be better than anything that the church tried to do in the past. That's the idea. There are many such movements and now I'm afraid Pope John Paul II is exactly this. Let's all just get together. Let's be nice. Let's not worry too much about what religion we belong to. You Mohammedans and Jews and Christians, we all worship the same one God. Let's all love one another. A civilization of love. Let's worry too much about the things that divide us. Let's concentrate on the things that unite us. And we will create a brave new world. And I'm very sorry for the nasty Catholic Church of the Inquisition and for the nasty Catholic Church of Galileo. And I'm sorry that the Catholic Church has been nasty for 1900 years. But I promise you that from now, thanks to us, the Church is going to be nice. And you'll be nice, won't you? And I'll be nice. And he goes through Palestine, he goes to Israel and he says to the Jews to be nice and he says to the Arabs to be nice. And they all say, yes, we're going to be nice. And then he goes back to Rome feeling nice. And then as soon as his back is turned, bang, 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 off it starts again. And worse than ever. I mean, you know. Whereas Pius XII stayed in Rome. He stayed in Rome and he told the truth that the modern world didn't like it. And the modern world replaced him with a nice pope, nice John the 23rd, who would do what the modern world wanted. And the modern world thought that John the 23rd was just what it wanted. But that's when things really began to go berserk. As long as the Holy Father was staying in Rome, minding the store and saying things nasty, the world stayed half nice. The moment the pope started saying things nice, the world turned nasty. It's as simple as that. Would you like to kick some of these around? There should be enough. Marc Saunier, it began as a student. Marc Saunier was a teacher of mathematics. Don't turn the sheet over, please. Don't turn the sheet over. Don't turn the sheet over. Whereupon everybody, I promise you we'll get back to that. But off camera, all right? Get back to that off camera. I promise, but not for the moment. the movement began amongst mathematics students. And one Friday, they decided that mathematics was rather dull, and so they were going to hold some nice weekly meetings. Where are we? The Sion. They were going to hold some nice weekly meetings. So it was the beginning of the year 1894. We were students in mathematics, special mathematics. We couldn't bear living in this overheated atmosphere of mathematics with having as our only ideal the compass and tangent of the polytechnicians. We needed a bit of breathable air of human ideal and life. And so we had what was perhaps an original idea, but an idea of which we were far from guessing the ultimate power and fruitfulness. We asked for and obtained authorization to hold every Friday in the main recreation from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock at midday, free meetings to discuss amongst pupils various divisions amongst the adults. These conferences brought about a revolution for a few months in the college. One day, we even had the bravery to bring in a worker to talk about, a young worker from Lille, to talk about the social question. We carried him in triumph. So you've already got this student-worker alliance, dreaming of a better world. So, he starts in a review. We were aware, says Marc Saunier, that by mixing with the life of our own time, we must first and foremost love our time, despite and perhaps because of its troubles and its miseries. We must love our age despite its problems and because of its problems. Oof, oof, that's dangerous. But despite and because of its problems, so we're going to love it because it's in such a mess. We're going to love the mess. If we love the mess, we're going to make it even worse. Saunier wrote articles in his poem, which are sort of poems in prose, legends, apologetic articles, not without charm, full of very pure and almost puerile sentiments, expressed often with a slightly worrying warmth. The cloudy stories bring on stage symbolic persons, such as the poor log cutter called Worker and the brave young man called Light, who needed to feed on living souls and who was jealous of all love and would have wished to embrace in his arms he would wish to embrace in his arms all love and to enjoy the kisses upon all lips. See? Sentiment, feeling, love, love, love. Ooh, watch out, watch out, watch out. There is such a thing as original sin. It's all very well to love everybody, but watch out for original sin. It's all just pouring out. There's too much love, too many embraces, too much voluptuousness, too much languor. It's a kind of mysticism, a sort of diverted sensuality applied to things which really don't fit. So this is the kind of hothouse inside Marc Saunier's head, which is going to issue in this whole youth movement, which is going to have a considerable influence in France. Because it's the malady of the age. It fits the age. It fits our age. Now Rome is going in for, I love you, I love you, I love you. In order to bring their language into line with the exuberance of their feelings, some of the most exalted and the most naive call one another, my Peter, my Paul, my Jack. And they follow the example given by their leader, who speaks in this way to his followers. He was seen, Marc Saunier, sometimes when he was received in other schools, walking through the courtyard surrounded by pupils whom he tenderly, of the closest of which he tenderly embraced by the neck or by the sole shoulders, pulling them, drawing them against him with an ecstatic look upon his face. Now do you see why the Novus Ordo is into all of this pedophilia? Love, 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 nice feelings without any hard principles and without the Ten Commandments. We're going to make a better world, better than the world ever created by the Church of the Ten Commandments. Of course they get into paedophilia. Not that, of course, the reality is as bad as the media make out, but it's still a problem. There's still a problem. And there's definitely, the poor novice Ordo Church is riddled with a network of these people. The H word, I call it. H-O-M-O-S-E-X-U-A-L. The H word. It's riddled with an H network. It's incredible. And that network goes back to 1982. Father Enrique Rueda wrote a book about it called The Homosexual Network. 1982, so that the people running the church cannot pretend they did not know about it. There was a book written about it 20 years ago, and it's been going on ever since. And it's and these people are in key positions and keep bringing their own into the other key positions. So that if you aren't one of them today in the Novus Ordo Church, they can make you suffer. And if you dare to resist them and condemn them, they will make you suffer. Because you're homophobe and so on. It's a disaster. And it's this kind of disaster. The Sion never got there, but it started well along that road. And I'm sure that some of them finished up in that. A rather doubtful romanticism, which a democratic newspaper in Chambéry wrote about a conference given by Saulnier, a new messiah has come to announce the reign of human fraternity. There you are, you see. A new messiah. The journalist sort of picks it up that here's like a new religion. Here's something that's going to replace the old-fashioned, strict and nasty Catholicism. And it's going to be love, love, love. And it's a messiah. And it's democratic. And it's fraternal. Liberty, equality, fraternity. It's a retread of the French Revolution. Only this time in Catholic love, love, love clothing instead of the guillotine. So, modern love, 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 modern liberty, equality, fraternity, without the guillotine, but with love, 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 hey, it's going to sell like hot cakes. You sell liberty, equality, fraternity with love, 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 and pretend the guillotine is out of sight, hey, you're going to be popular. In 1904, Marc Saulnier said the following. When they rebuke us for lacking in precise statements, which have not yet come out of the effort of our friends, they are forgetting that that is perhaps the best guarantee of the scientific honesty of our method. In other words, the fact that we don't make precise definitions, the fact that we are leaving it vague, the fact that we do have nice, lovely feelings which aren't based on tough principles, that's the best proof that we are searching, that we are looking for a better world. If we had tough principles, we'd be prisoned, we'd be tied down, we'd be limited, we'd be back to the old system. We're doing away with definitions. We're doing away with two. We are transcending two and two of four. We're moving into a much better world where two and two can equal anything you like, just so long as it's love, love, love. Besides, says Saulnier, we don't know where we are going. 1904. He's leading a movement and he says, we don't know where we're going. What kind of a leader do you follow when he doesn't know where he's going? In fact, he did know where he was going. He was going to John Paul II's civilization of love. That's where he was going. He hadn't yet put it in those terms but John Paul II puts it in those terms. I mean, John Paul II has just been leading the civilization of love in Toronto, the great love-in of all of the youngsters, you know, another great world youth love-in. Gosh. John Venari is writing articles about it in the Catholic Family News. He went there himself in order to see. I pinned up one article on the board. He just sent, faxed me another. I'll pin up the second article on the board. You can read it for yourselves. It's nothing for the future. And you say, here is, on Saturday evening, this is a week ago or so, just a week ago, Saturday evening they held from sort of 5:30 to 11:30 or so on Saturday evening, they held an evening service prior to the Pope's Mass on the Sunday, and all the youngsters were invited there, and it's tam-tam and rock and roll, the Pope is presiding it, and it's a whole lot of weak, wishy-washy, wet hymns with silly words and silly tunes, and then rock and roll. And John Venari comments, I'm sorry for these children of the children of Vatican II. The children of Vatican II were the adults in the 1960s, and these children are now the children of born in the 1970s. And Venari says, I'm sorry for these kids. They have been deprived. All they're being given is this milk and this slop, these silly words and these silly tunes, and the adults are pretending that this is the greatest that they can be given. It's incredible. And it's this. Sweet love, love, love. We're going to make a better world with love, love, love. Spell L-U-V, L-U-V, L-U-V. Horrible. Horrible. In order to be nice, you've got to be nasty. And if you set up, in order to achieve niceness, you've got to start nasty. And if you start nice, you're unfailingly going to finish nasty. That's the moral of the story. And it's because of original sin. Amongst others. The church understands human nature. All of these dreamy reformers who think that the church needs updating, that the church needs completely changing, that the church has got to be... All of these dreamy reformers have no idea of how human nature ticks. The devil is leading them by the nose because they... To a great extent because they don't believe in original sin. If you don't believe in original sin, why shouldn't the youngsters dress how they like? There's no problem. If there's no original sin, there's no problem. John Vanari says, of course, that the youngsters at the World Youth Love In, or the World Youth Pope Day, or whatever they called it, the World Youth Meeting, he comments, of course, there's lots of youngsters, lots of pretty young girls, virtually undressed. And they're mixing freely with the boys. He doesn't say that he saw, he doesn't say that he saw complete sin going on, but all but. And this is with the Pope, with the encouragement of the Pope, apparently with the encouragement of the Pope. It's unbelievable. People have gone mad. But it's nice. It's nice. These youngsters are nice. They're sincere. They're well-meaning. What's wrong with my nice shorts? That's the way God made me, and the boys like it. And so on and so on and so on. Madness. Madness. And this is the foreshadowing of it. And Pius X, who's nasty, has got it absolutely nailed. And what he says, there's one paragraph after another, which is absolutely prophetic and which is absolutely right on the nail today. And it's, this is 1910, nearly 100 years old. And so these young Catholics who are searching don't know where they're going. The church, with her ancient teaching, with her body of doctrine, with her fixed and nasty principles, they don't bother with her. They don't need her. That's past. We've grown out of that. We've become of age. We're adult now. They don't know where they're going. One may well be afraid they will go where they shouldn't go. If they don't know where they're going, they will go where they shouldn't go. In 1907, the magazine Sillon has only 3,000 subscribers, but a little more than Lamine had on the Avenue, but they are making a lot of noise. People hear about them. A priest commented that in these hollow formulae, we're going to make a better world, we're going to be brotherly, we're going to make sure that love prevails, we're going to overcome enmities, all of these hollow phrases which the Freemasons love. The Freemasons are masters of this beautiful, lovely, rhetorical, inspiring language. But when you say, okay, let's get down to brass tacks, what? No. It remains vague. Freemasonry. Sillon is not directly Freemasonic, but it's an absolute product of a civilization gone Masonic. Like, John Paul II doesn't need to be a Freemason, but he thinks like one. Thomas Jefferson, whether or not he was a Freemason, he certainly thought like one. I swear eternal enmity upon the altar of God to any tyranny, against any tyranny over the mind of man. Tremendous phrases. What does it actually mean? Chaos in the mind. Absolutely no control of any kind in the mind. Above all for them, Catholicism has to be lived. They start out Catholic. The Sion pretends at the beginning to be Catholic. Religious experience is our guide. Religious experience. In other words, what we feel is our feelings. We're going to follow our feelings. Red flags all over the place. We're going to follow our feelings. Experience is our guide. Christ is to be experienced more than he is to be proved. So, not the arguments of the church about why Jesus Christ is God, the certainty, the mind working, the mind gripping truth. No. Christ is to be felt. Christ is to be experienced. All of that is laden, says this French priest who had his head on his shoulders. It's laden with Protestant anarchy. Modernism, Sionism, Protestantism. It's laden. It's loaded with Protestant anarchy. And it leads to a further principle called interior inspiration, inward inspiration. And that, again, is Protestantism. I don't need the magisterium. I don't need the outer church to tell me from outside where religion is. My feelings tell me where religion is. Chaos. Of course, the intentions are beyond question. I mean, there's no doubt that they're good intentions. Marc Saunier, he's full of beautiful feelings and good intentions. All of these dear students who follow him, they all mean to create a better world. They all really want what's good. The intentions, there's no problem with the intentions. It's the mind that's gone. The mind is saying, follow the feelings. The mind should say, follow the truth. And get the feelings in line with the truth. That's what the mind should be leading the feelings to the truth. No, the mind is cutting off from the truth, turning around and saying, let's follow you, the feelings. And so the mind is being pulled by the feelings. Instead of the feelings being drawn to the truth by the mind is being pulled by the feelings. The mind is turning around, it's committing suicide, it's cutting itself off from the truth, committing suicide, and attaching itself to the feelings. It's pure Hollywood. It's the modern world. No truth, feelings. Disaster. Absolute disaster. Already in 1899, the magazine had said that Christianity has been more than ever, since the Council of Trent, a work of human reason. In other words, the Sion pretends that Christianity has come down to being just a product of human reason. That's not true. It's just not true. As though the Council of Trent, by its definitions, by its nasty principles, had cut out of religion anything except human feeling. Absolutely not true. Trent is full of the supernatural. Its definitions make room for the supernatural, consolidate the place of the supernatural from beginning to end. So, and here comes the Sion saying that Council of Trent has made everything mathematical, that Catholicism is just mathematical, it's rigid, it's tied down, it's just dull principles, it's boring, it's purely human. We need feeling. Ay, 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 ay. Two books are the bedside reading of the Sionists. One is the book of Monsignor Ireland, The Church and the World, arch-liberal of the American church in the middle of the 19th century, here in St. Paul, in which he says, the church blesses democracy and considers it to be the flowering of its own principles of equality, fraternity, and liberty of all men before Christ and through Christ. And you see that there's the liberal mixing Jesus Christ and the revolution, mixing Catholicism and the French Revolution. Liberty, equality, fraternity, that's really Christian. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. I'm sorry, it isn't. Of course, there is a Christian liberty, there is a Christian equality and a Christian fraternity, but the Christians don't talk about liberty, equality. They talk about, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt have no other gods before him. And then they say, the Lord God, that true God, is one in three and three in one. And the second of those three became incarnate, and he gave us his Catholic Church. That's what the truth says. That's that, not liberty, equality, fraternity, but get to Mass and get to confession in order to save your soul. Be baptized, believe what the Church tells you to believe, etc., etc. The other is the Roman novel of Count Melchior. The last, which is Tolstoyism, which again, it's a pseudo-Christian humanism. The Sion maintains that ever since the Council of Trent, the Catholic Church has been in a position which is false, hunched up, hostile, and hateful. How can Catholics think like that about the Council of Trent? The Council of Trent was alone responsible for anything that's green ever since. All that's green ever since passed through the Council of Trent. How can a Catholic resent the Council of Trent? But undoubtedly, that's John Paul II's thinking. That, you know, he apologizes for everything that's limited, like that, about the Council of Trent. Wow. Oof. According to the... And the Sionists will get rid of this by the light of their conscience and experience, and not according to the orders of the clerics, even if they're bishops and even if they're the Holy Father. So, forget about the Council of Trent, forget about the priests and the bishops and the Pope, forget about the teaching of the Church. We, with our feelings, are going to create a new world. It's the new Church. They equate the Church with democracy. And they reject Leo the 13th because he won't make that equivalence. Believing in the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ is a strength which, by subordinating the particular interest to the general interest, makes democracy possible. So the purpose of Jesus Christ is to consolidate democracy. The glory and triumph and final thing of Jesus Christ is democracy. That's the French Revolution again. We the people, all power to the people. Cut off the heads of the aristocrats and the kings. We're going to create a better world without cardinals and without. Jefferson said, "We're making a world without. We no longer need cardinals and kings." Jefferson said it. We're making a new world without cardinals and kings. It's the Sion is the same thing. Democracy is the new world. Where else? Religion is no longer seen through the teaching of the Church, but as a spirit which blows through everybody. Those who continually speak of the Sion as though it's some kind of objective reality, says Saulnier, make me laugh. They are fooled by their own enthusiasm, and they risk taking for the goal what is merely an instrument, for the living being what is merely the clothing. That is why the transformations and the incessant evolution of our movement doesn't worry me at all. I'm always a little troubled when I see how our friends grab hold of our books or flyers in order to try to define as exactly as possible what the Sion is. In other words, again, Saulnier is saying the Sion has not got particular principles or a constitution or a purpose or a guide. We are a movement of feeling which is evolving all the time. He's throwing away the compass. He's throwing away the teaching of the Church. He's absolutely trusting in the human heart. It's pure romanticism. Trusting in the human heart. The human heart isn't trustable. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah says, the heart of man is wicked The heart of man is wicked and nobody can sound it. Nobody can sound its depths except God. Only God knows just how wicked the heart of man is. That's scripture. And it's true. You and I are capable of wickedness of which you and I have no idea. But if you and I were without the grace of God and thrown into the wrong circumstances, I don't know. We're going to see when anarchy breaks loose in today's United States, and it's not far from it right now, When law and order break down, you and I are going to see some of the most surprising people behaving like absolute villains, and also some surprising people behaving like heroes. But when law and order break down, animals are going to come up from the depths, which we have no idea, up from our own depths, from the depths inside us, which you have no idea of. That's me? It is. I didn't realize I was like that. God knew. The heart of man is wicked, and it has depths which God alone can plumb. That's Jeremiah speaking. Oh, no. The heart of man is beautiful. All feelings coming out of the heart of man are beautiful. We only have to launch on the... And it's true. You and I are capable of wickedness of which you and I have no idea. But if you and I were without the grace of God and thrown into the wrong circumstances, I don't know. We're going to see when anarchy breaks loose in today's United States, and it's not far from it right now. Law and order break down, you and I are going to see some of the most surprising people behaving like absolute villains, and also some surprising people behaving like heroes. When law and order break down, animals are going to come up from the depths, which we have no idea, up from our own depths, from the depths inside us, which you have no idea of. That's me? It is. I didn't realize I was like that. God knew. The heart of man is wicked, and it has depths which God alone can plumb. That's Jeremiah speaking. Oh, no. The heart of man is beautiful. All feelings coming out of the heart of man are beautiful. We only have to launch on the broad sea of our feelings, and we will inevitably come to the most beautiful sunrise of all. It's childish. It's romanticism of the worst kind. How can one take a photograph of something that's continually moving, says Saint-Saëns. You can't get to know the Sion by trying to take photographs, by trying to take still life photographs. You can't know, by knowing what it is at one moment of existence, you can't know what it is, because there's only one moment of existence. And it's childish to try to learn by heart a few definitions, when to be a good Sionist means carrying within oneself, within one's mind, within one's soul, the future Sion. Not by reciting by heart some definition of the sea or in the past. You see? This rejection of the mind, this rejection of principles, this rejection of definitions, this rejection of clarity, just this complete confidence in feeling. Saëns requires of his disciples to follow him when he doesn't even know where he's going. It's something... and then there's a priest who was once a fervent Sionist, and he left the movement, and he says why he left it. We left the Sion because our leaving the Sion testifies to the sincerity with which we want to bring in line our principles and our action. It's because the Sion, which makes such ardent Republican and Democratic declarations, is interiorly organized like the most absolute monarchy. The Sion has democratic, oh the people principles, but when it comes down to it, Marc Saëns is a ruthless tyrant of the movement. Now isn't that a little bit surprising? Maybe some of you know, when you get a liberal headmaster in a school, or a liberal head of an enterprise, or a liberal something, watch out for liberals. They'd coo like doves, but if you cross them, they have claws as sharp as steel. If you interfere with their liberalism, watch out, because your sweet dove will suddenly turn into a hawk. You try fighting him on his liberalism. As long as you go along with his liberalism, oh, he will go on goo, 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 goo. He will coo like a sweet dove. But you just lay a finger on his liberalism, on his rotten liberal principles, and you will suddenly find yourself in the face of a hawk. Sonia is gru, 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 gru. But you try bending the seal away from this romantic nonsense, and you're in the face of a tyrant with steel claws. And so this priest leaves the movement because he realizes that for all the talk about sweetness and democracy and love and being nice, the movement is run on old-fashioned, nasty, tyrannical, dictatorial principles. Saulnier acts exactly not according to what he says. Why? Because in order to hold any movement together, you do need a leader. He is leading. And he's not running a democracy. He says we need to be democratic, but he's not running a democracy. And that's typical of these characters. Love, 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 but don't say a word against my love or I'm going to hate you. Because my love, oh my, these people are, and these are the people that are these are the people that are running the world today. The Sion is under the exclusive authority of Monsieur Saulnier, an authority reinforced by his considerable personal fortune, which allows him money talks, allows him to hold the whip over the movement. He is the single owner of the newspaper, of the review, of the headquarters, and the provincial groups have been dispossessed little by little of any effective means of control. He is the single master. For all his talk about democracy, he's the single master. The most amusing thing is that Marc Saulnier always refused the typographers of his newspaper to join the local union. A good bit of old-fashioned right-wing tyranny in this beautiful preacher of left-wing principles. That's typical. Typical. Under the dictatorship of Marc Saulnier, the Sion slipped continually more towards the left. There will come the day of the Republican feast, and it will be a Sionist evening, just extended, vastly extended. To the religious sound of great hymns, revolutionary hymns will be mixed. And we are going to hear the powerful and controlled canticles of democracy. The mixture of the church and the revolutionary world. That's exactly what Vatican II is. Vatican II is the Sion. Is the Sion just as a church council. How many of the young priests there are relegated to the shadow in these silent presbyteries, or in the silence of big seminaries, who feel themselves the children of the little priests of 1789 of the French Revolution, who went hand in hand with the revolutionaries. So the dream of uniting the revolution, the dream of uniting the church, the Catholic Church, with the modern world, of teaming up with the modern world, instead of having to fight the modern world, instead of the green having to stand against the whole massive movement of red, if only the whole thing can tilt, and that's exactly Vatican II. The whole church tilts to join the modern world. And now, that's Vatican II. We're going to be happy. We're going to be in tune with the world. We don't no longer have to go on fighting the modern world. The modern world is not as bad as all that. At the beginning of Vatican II, there was a dreadful speech given by John the 23rd, written by Paul the 6th, written by Cardinal Montini, who would become Paul the 6th. A dreadful speech saying, "Away with the prophets of gloom. Away with all of this tridentine talk about how the world is bad and the church must be a fortress against the wicked modern world. The modern world isn't wicked. The modern world is noble. The modern world is good. Oh, modern world, we embrace you." That was Paul the 6th at the end of the council as well. From beginning to end of Vatican II. "Oh, modern world, we are Catholics, but we love you. Please love us. Please don't hate us anymore. Please don't give us bad articles in the press. Please." That's it. It's the seal. So, enough. Let's turn to Pius X. It's an interesting story. And how many times it's been repeated? How many times? In the modern age, Pius X, and I beg of you, Read, it's only, we were just saying, 25, 27 pages. I beg of you, read the original and read it and read it and read it again. Read it 1, 2, 3, 4 times. You'll get here the structure. It's not especially difficult to read. And there are classic passages which absolutely nail this new church. Absolutely nail it. Pius X was, a saint. He was a saint. He was a very intelligent man and a saint. Introduction, then 1 to 11, notice 13 to 25, the doctrine. So Somni himself says we don't have a doctrine. The modernists said we don't have a system of doctrine. Pope Pius X says, oh yes you do. If you have a coherent line of action, behind that is bound to be some coherent thinking. You say you're not thinking. You say that you are renouncing thinking and just feeling. But I say to you, you have got principles, and those principles need to be brought out, they need to be expressed, and they need to be nailed as to whether they're true or false. Maybe some of those principles are true. The Catholic Church will give all credit for principles that are true. But if they're mixed with principles that are false, that's where the problem is. Well, that's where a problem is going to be. So that he lays out the doctrine of the Sionists, of the Sion. Then he spells out, 27 to 42, the action of the Sion. Their action inside the movement and inside the church. And this is why the Sion was such a special threat to Catholicism, because it was, once again, the enemy inside the gates. The Sionists began by being Catholic. They were young students, full of good intentions, nice young men, good young men, and they really meant well, good intentions, you name it. And so the Pope begins by giving them credit for that. But then he says they don't know what they're about. They've not studied the old-fashioned and true principles about human nature and especially original sin. And so they're going to go wrong, and they're going wrong. And the church can't go along with this. So the action of the Sion, and finally, 43 to 47, Catholic counteraction. What the Catholic Church, what Catholics must do about this movement. Go back to the beginning, the introduction. The letter from the Pope. The Pope must guard Catholics from high-flown liberalism like the Sion. Really, you know, it's worth looking at the text for this. It's too precious. My little summary on this page is much too brief. Our apostolic mandate requires from us that we watch over the purity of the faith and integrity of Catholic discipline. It requires from us that we protect the faith from evil and error, especially so when evil and error are presented in dynamic language, which concealing vague notions and ambiguous expressions with emotional and high-sounding words is likely to set ablaze the hearts of men in the pursuit of ideals which, while attractive, are nonetheless nefarious. Nefarious means more or less wicked. So beautiful language covering up for wicked purposes. The newspapers are full of it. The politicians have got almost nothing else in their mouths except beautiful, high-flown language. It's Masonic. It's absolutely Freemasonic. The Masons say, I think I quoted you the other day, our ideal is to be everywhere and to be recognized nowhere. And the Sion is Masonic from top to bottom. It's a pure product of the modern Masonic world. And the Masons are right here without being recognizable. I dare say Marc Sognier wasn't a Mason. I don't know if he was. I've not heard he was. I've not ever heard he was. He didn't need to be. I remember asking the Archbishop Lefebvre, I once asked him if Pope Paul VI, this was under the reign of Pope Paul VI, if Pope Paul VI was a Freemason. And I think, as I recall, the Archbishop said, he doesn't need to be. He said, I don't think he is, but he doesn't need to be. He's impregnated with their ideas. He's doing what they want and talking like they talk, even if he doesn't belong to a lodge. Some people say Paul VI does belong to a lodge. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's a secondary question. The problem of Paul VI was his ideas and his action following on his ideas, wherever it came from. Similarly, are the Jews behind Freemasonry or not? It doesn't matter. What matters is that the ideas that acted upon by the Freemasons are radically wrong and are leading mankind to its ruin. Whoever's behind it, the ideas are wrong. Here's the truth, here is the error. And Catholics must know the truth. So we're going to get the truth about the Sion from Pius X. Okay. Such were not so long ago the doctrines of the so-called philosophers of the 18th century, doctrines of the revolution and liberalism which have been so often condemned. Such are even today the theories of the Sion, which under the glowing appearance of generosity are all too often wanting in clarity, logic, and truth. It looks beautiful, it sounds beautiful, it sounds noble, it's high flown, it's elegant, but there's no clarity, there's no logic, and there's no truth. Those nasty things of the mind. It's a renouncing of the mind, it's a suicide of the mind. The modern world is committing suicide of the mind. That's why the mental hospitals are so full. That's why everybody's on Prozac and so on. Yes?
Isn't this type of religion that claims freedom of thought in actuality freedom from?
Yes. That's exactly what Dr. White said last week in the literature session. Yes. Freedom of thought means freedom from thought. Exactly. Freedom of religion means, in effect, freedom from religion. Freedom of association means, in fact, pure individualism being free from any association. That's in effect what it is. We could prove that. It's a big point. It's a very interesting point. We'll come back to it if there's a vacant moment at some point. These theories do not belong to the Catholic or, for that matter, to the French spirit. He's making this document was sent to the French bishops because the Sion was at that time a French problem. Since it's become a universal problem, but at that time it wasn't just a French problem. Just like Americanism was essentially at that moment a problem in America, the Sionism was a problem in France, and so the Pope doesn't stir up the problem everywhere where it isn't. He's just talking about it where it is. Credit is given to this. Now, then look at the summary again. The letter from the Pope on the Sionists, 2 to 10. Their persons and their errors. 2, 3, 4, 5, their persons, and then 6 to 10, he's already climbing into their errors. But he begins by giving credit to their fact that they are well-meaning, that they are nice boys, that they do really have good intentions. The Pope gives them credit for that. The Pope does not pretend that they're just wicked through and through. It's foolish. And today, it's always wise to give credit where credit is due. A Catholic will always give credit where credit is due. Credit is due to John Paul II in a number of respects, because the liberals wish he was out of the way. As I say, that's my own belief. Credit where credit is due, because if you discredit where credit is due, people won't believe you when you discredit where discredit is due. If you exaggerate in discrediting, they won't take you seriously when you're right in discrediting. So. He gives credit then to these dear young men. As persons, the Sionists are noble, enthusiastic, selfless, idealistic. Hey, that's great. And their promoting of Christ amongst the workers deserved encouragement. Paragraphs 2 and 3. These students wanted to get Christ in amongst the workers, but the Pope will say, what Christ? What ideas do they have of Jesus Christ? How can they want to get Jesus Christ in amongst the workers without the priest, without the sacraments, bypassing the priest? Jesus Christ instituted the priesthood, and he comes to souls in large measure through the priests. How can you get to Christ without the priest, bypassing the priest? It's the problem of TFP. The Belgian movement, the Brazilian, started in Brazil, TFP, Tradition, Family, and Property. Do any of you know that movement? Know about it? Know of it? And the essential problem of that is that this brilliant doctor, Plinio Corriere de Oliveira, brilliant doctor, coming up against the problem of communism in the clergy in Brazil, said the answer is to do without the clergy. In practice, these left-wing communist clergy, yes, but to make a principle of it is a terrible error. You can't bypass the clergy in our Lord Jesus Christ's church. If you create a church without clergy, if you try to create a civilization without clergy, it's not going to be Catholic. The priests may be wretches, they may be miserable, they may be full of sin, they may be all kinds of things, but that's God's problem. If you want a Catholic civilization, you want a real Catholic civilization, if you want it sincerely and uprightly, God will give you the good priests you need. And God gave to Dr. Plinio a very good bishop not far away, Bishop de Castromaia. And they were friends for many years until Bishop de Castromaia finally had to separate from the movement because the movement had gone off track. And it went off track because His idea of Christ, well, Christian civilization, was an idea of Christian civilization without the clergy playing an important enough part. It's understandable that the good doctor looked at the clergy of his time and said, yeah, these are, it's impossible to do anything with these. But to make that, as I say, into a principle, to try to create Catholic civilization without priests, you can't do it. You say, well, I can't create anything with these priests. They're no good. All right, get down on your knees and pray to God for some good priests, and he can give them to you any day of the week. God is the master. And if people deserve good priests, they will have them. If they deserve them and pray for them, we will have the priests of our prayers. If we don't pray for them, then we won't have them.
Who are the priests then? I mean, I know so little about TFP, and I know some people who are very much enthralled with it, right?
It's very conservative. It's a very conservative movement. They fight against abortion. They fight for chivalry and so on and so on. I'd rather not go into the whole thing right now, but there's a flaw, F-L-A-W, in the basis of the movement, in its principles. And all over the world, the TFP has tended to clash with the society. I'm not saying that the society is infallible, but I do believe that society, with all its faults, is Catholic. But TFP and the society have clashed. That's the fruits. So I'm afraid TFP is not what it should be. And but that's a different problem. We're looking at the seal. However, 4-5, the problem with these dear, idealistic, noble, and generous young men, the problem is they were ill-equipped. And then you've got two Greek letters there, PH-phi and TH-theta. Philosophy and theology. They were ill-equipped in philosophy and theology and history to avoid liberal errors. These young men have not studied the wisdom of the church. They think they can do without philosophy. They think they can do without principles. They think they can float a new world just on nice feelings. And so they fall straight into all of the old traps. All the old traps of romanticism and and revolution. And they refuse to heed the warnings of danger from the church. The clergy warned these dear young men. Dear young men, it's not enough to be well-meaning, sincere, and have love, love, love. You also need some solid principles, otherwise you're going to destroy what remains of real civilization. Oh, no, we don't need to listen to you. You're the old world. We're creating a new world. Boom, they go straight to their ruin. They did not pay attention to the warnings from the clergy. Of course, you know, this clergyman or that clergyman may be defective in this or that way. Of course, that's this question. The tiny little fragment is really not very much. But if you want the truth, it's enough. If you want good clergy, you will have what you need. God will give you what you need. And you can get old Catholic sense out of a horrible new priest. Many of us have had the experience of, you know, if you approach even a novice ordo priest, and even a far gone novice priest in the right kind of way, he will tell you an old fashioned truth. Hands up anybody who's had that experience. Well, a few of you, yes. It's possible. It's possible. As long as they're not wicked, and many of them are not wicked. They're not deliberately trying to mislead. And if they sense the seriousness of the question it's a structured and serious question, they give a structure. They're capable of giving a serious and structured answer. I'm not saying that you should go to them in the hope of finding a serious and structured answer, not to the crazy ones. But I declare that even the crazy ones, by moments, can tell the truth. Caiaphas told the truth about how our Lord ought to die for the people. He didn't know what he was saying. He didn't mean it in that sense, but what he said was true. And St. John, which is the word of God, points out that Caiaphas was inspired when he said it. The priests are instruments of God. They're not just human beings. And even at their worst, they are capable still of being instruments of God. And if somebody is really looking for God, even through the worst of priests, they can still find him. It's strange that it should be so, but a priest is much more than just a human being. He's a bum, he's a jerk, he's a creep, humanly. But if he's an ordained priest, there's much more than just the bum, the jerk, and the creep. It's a mystery, the priesthood. So, So if these dear young Sionists have gone to the clergy and they think the clergy, they're old fashioned, they're da 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 da. But if they go with a sincere young heart looking for the truth, even a crusty old miserable priest is capable of telling a bright young lad some of what he needs, the truth of God that he needs. So they should have gone to the clergy. Despite all the appearances, they should have gone to the clergy. If they didn't go to the clergy, it's because they didn't want the truth. They wanted something new and that feels beautiful. Oh, you'll get it. It'll be hell. It'll be new, it looks beautiful, it won't feel beautiful when you get there. So, their virtues, all of the virtues of their hearts, their problem, the problem of their minds. Their minds are not trained. They've not studied. They've not learned the old truths. Their errors, and therefore the errors. And he goes straight into the errors. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we must speak. Firstly, they claim that their work does not come under the church's control. They're just a secular society. Just like, you remember, Vatican II, it said, we're not going against the old church because this is only a pastoral council. And then they whip round, as I say, and the moment they've got it established, they then say, this is a dogmatic council, and you've got to go with Vatican II. To begin with, they said, we're not changing anything. And then when they'd succeeded in changing everything, then they said, you've got to go with the changes. So, similarly, the Sion, it begins by saying, we don't come under the church's control, because we're only a little sort of social movement. But once they've got established, their ideas are then for the revolutionizing of the entire world. They're going to create a new world and a new civilization. So the Pope says, hey guys, one thing or the other, either you really are just a little social movement, or if you're pretending to create a brave new world, then you come under church, that's the church's affair. What you are doing with the whole future of civilization is the church's business. And if you are wanting to create a whole new civilization, then don't pretend that you're just a little social movement. You come under the church. And therefore the church, I have the right and I have the duty to straighten you out. And don't think that you escape from under my control, says the Pope. I have a duty before God to avoid you poisoning the pastures for lots of poor souls that you will lead to hell. I will answer for it before God if you lead souls to hell. Firstly, they claim that their work does not come under the church's control. 7, this is false. Because they plan and propagate their ideas to regenerate all society. Their ambition is to renew the world. That comes under the church. That's the church's business. This indiscipline is bad enough, but worse still, they are in doctrinal error. Notice the Pope saying, bad doctrine is worse than bad discipline. If a man has good ideas, but he just refuses to obey, that's one thing. But if a man has bad ideas, that's quite another. The one is schism. The other is heresy. Schism is, my doctrine is good, but I don't want to obey the Pope. Heresy, the doctrine is bad. Heresy is much worse than schism. Heresy is the worst of sins. It's difficult for a modern mind to understand that. Again, we come back to the same point. That, it's the mind that matters. It's the truth that matters. It's doctrine that matters. Their indiscipline is bad enough. Worse still, they're in doctrinal error. And here is the doctrine. They place sovereignty in the people. And they wish to abolish the social classes. And they dream of rebuilding society on a new basis, defying the laws of human nature. 11, a famous conclusion, which we'll look at in detail later, or we'll read. No, the only basis, is a famous, famous paragraph, the only basis upon which society can be built is the basis taught by the Catholic Church. You cannot build a civilization of love on anything other than the old-fashioned principles of the Council of Trent, the Council of Chalcedon, the Council of Ephesus, on the Church of all time.